Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning is Keep on Reforming. Based on Hebrews 13:7-9, this is what it reads. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your bulletin. Open it up and follow there as we consider our theme, Keep on Reforming. Today, just for a little while, I'm wearing before you my doctor's robes and my doctor's cowl. These were the robes I wore on special occasions when I was a professor at Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Edmonton. Yes, I was a pastor, but I also was a doctor of theology, and I taught men who were studying to be pastors. In those days, the students and others didn't call me Pastor Harold. They called me Dr. Harold. Well, why am I wearing these robes today? Because today is a very special day in the life of the Christian church. Today is Reformation Sunday. Reformation was started by a pastor who loved his people, but who also was a doctor of theology and a professor. His name, of course, as we saw in the clip, was Martin Luther. He lived around 1500 AD, some 500 years ago. Martin Luther was a mighty man of God in his preaching and his teaching and his writing and his standing up to church officials and officials of his government. He stood up to them because the church of his day was in bad shape and it needed to be changed. It needed to be reformed. The church of his day had strayed away from the Bible and from the very center of that Bible, Jesus, our Lord. When you look up the word reform in the dictionary, here's the definition. Listen carefully. Reform, to change into a new or improved form, to remove faults or abuses, to restore to a former good condition, to bring from bad back to good. Reformation Sunday is that one Sunday of the church year when we remember that Martin Luther worked hard and even to the peril of his own physical life to reform the church of his day so that it would remain true to God's Word and to Him who is the center of that Word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Every Protestant church today, every Protestant church today, that is every Christian church except the Roman Catholic Church, owes its very existence to this reformer, Martin Luther. Today, the Christian church still needs to be reformed. This Christian church needs to be reformed. Our individual hearts need to be reformed. And that's why the title of our message today is Keep on Reforming. Now for now, I'll get out of my doctor's robes and become once again your pastor. As we focus on the scripture for today from Hebrews chapter 13, the Reformation of Luther's day and of our day is based on three key principles, and these principles are recorded in your sermon outline this morning. They are Scripture alone, faith alone, and grace alone. Our church is not built on the feelings or the opinions or the desires of people. Our church is built on these three foundations: Scripture, faith, and God's grace. And these three principles are in our reading for today from Hebrews 13. Let me share it piece by piece with you. First, Scripture alone. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says this: "Remember your leaders who first spoke the Word of God to you." Word of God leaders are worth remembering. Those faithful pastors, faithful teachers, parents and grandparents who were true to Holy Scripture and who taught you God's Word and brought you to the font of holy baptism and led you by the hand to the altar for Holy Communion. But sadly today, in too many homes and in too many churches, God's Word is being disregarded and even ridiculed. And yes, it's happening in our own congregation. The Word of God is being disregarded. It pains my heart to know such homes and such churches. And oh, the empty hearts and souls of those whose leaders are not speaking to them in their homes and in their churches God's powerful, life-changing Word. But where God's Word is being proclaimed and taught, where Jesus' command to baptize and celebrate Holy Communion is being obeyed, in those places, lives are being changed. Hearts are being won and kept for Jesus. The forgiveness of sins is being trusted. And the sureness and certainty of heaven is being believed. In those places, the Reformation continues. Lord God, help us to keep on reforming, guided by Your Word alone. The next principle is faith alone. Our text from Hebrews 13, verse 7 says this: imitate their faith. The faith of those who are true to God's Word is a faith that's worthy to be imitated. Now, I have been a pastor for over 31 years. It's been my honor to minister to people who are now in glory, seeing their Savior face to face in heaven. My own faith has been strengthened by the life and faith of these kinds of people. They knew and they trusted their Savior Jesus, not just as knowledge in their head, but in a true faith in their heart. Their faith was not just head knowledge. It was a living, vital force that captured their heart and their soul. And they taught me what faith was all about. Imitate their faith, says the writer to Hebrews. Faith is not just a nice feeling. Faith is not a happy thought. Faith is not a pleasant dream that disappears when you wake up and face reality. Faith is a gift of God, made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, who creates that faith in our hearts as we hear God's Word proclaimed. Faith is an unshakable trust in whom? Him who is the center of all Scripture, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why our text today from Hebrews 13 said this in verse 8: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, our dear Lord Jesus, offered Himself unto death on that cross as the perfect sacrifice for sin. He suffered on that cross to pay for your sin, to pay for mine, to pay for the sins of the world. What does Holy Scripture say? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Jesus was crucified. He died. He was risen. He lives forevermore. And He promises. Oh, He promises. His blood-bought promise is this. He or she who put their faith in Him shall not die, but shall live forever. Here was Jesus' words from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. The Bible tells us that one day, this Jesus will come back to bring with Him the end of the world and take to Him those souls of those who have loved Him on that glorious day, Lord. Until that glorious day, Lord, help us to keep on reforming, living by faith alone. Scripture alone? Faith alone? What's the last one? Grace alone. Our text from Hebrews 13 says in verse 9, do not be carried away. Are you listening? Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. God's grace is His undeserved love and forgiveness for sinners like us. God's grace comes to us only and always through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the sad truth is, in Luther's day, and in our day today, there are, as the Bible says, all kinds of strange teachings. These strange teachings can be found in your local bookstore. These strange teachings can be found in any number of stupid TV talk shows. These strange teachings are found on the internet. And saddest of all today, these strange teachings can be found even in some churches that have strayed away from the Holy Bible. These strange teachings can easily find their ways into our hearts and into our minds and into the hearts and minds of our children. They lead us away from God's grace. And they lead us toward trusting in our own good deeds, trusting in our feelings, trusting in the beliefs of opinions of famous but terribly misguided people. But if we are immersed in God's grace, and if we continue in what our church calls the means of grace, the proclamation of the Word, the celebration of holy baptism and holy communion, then we will not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Reformation Sunday. Oh my, here it comes. Here comes that place in the sermon where I quit preaching. And you know what I'm going to start doing. Reformation Sunday is a good time to remind us not to be spiritually lazy or complacent. The devil would like us to be spiritually lazy or complacent so he could lead us away from God's truth and mercy by all these strange teachings. Reformation Sunday is a good Sunday for each of us to look into the mirror and ask these questions. How is my attendance at worship? Do I come to the Lord's altar every time Holy Communion is offered? Am I attending a Bible class? Am I praying with my children and bringing them to Sunday school? This is a sore spot for me in our congregation. Maybe 1/4 of the children who could be in Sunday school are here because of the choices parents are being made, even now. Have I quit preaching and started meddling? Reformation Sunday is that Sunday to look in the mirror and say, am I in the place to receive God's grace where He freely gives it? In the setting of worship, in the Bible class, in the Sunday school. Why? We don't attend these things to get heavenly brownie points with God. We attend these things because it's in these manners God gives us His grace to strengthen our faith. Why? So we don't get carried away by all the strange teachings in our world today. Too many people today are worshiping at the altar of Oprah. And the strange teachings and opinions of people today, they are at the altar of God's Word and His grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're not just talking about those unchurched people. We're talking about ourselves. In Christ, that wasn't in my sermon, by the way. In Christ, we have been given the very riches of God's grace. We have been given the forgiveness of sins and salvation. These are riches beyond compare. These are riches we could never afford. These are riches that have been charged to the account of Jesus Christ our Lord, who paid for these riches by His very blood. This is the grace of God spoken of when St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and by the way, this is one of the key verses of the entire Reformation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so none of us can boast. Lord God, help keep us true to Your grace. Keep us from strange and false teachings. Lord God, help us to keep on reforming based in grace alone. Scripture alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. These three principles summarize the great Reformation faith that has been passed down to us through all the centuries. Will we continue to pass it on to the next generation? In our day and age, the Bible is being ridiculed. The church is under attack. And society is shoving down our throats all manners of wicked and ungodly practices. In these wicked and perverse days, we are called again on Reformation Sunday to take a stand on the basics of our Reformation faith. It begins in our homes. It continues in our churches. But let's don't forget our own individual hearts. Someone once asked an elderly Chinese gentleman who was in his 80s, "What do you do all day with your time?" This is what the gentleman said. "I have much to do every day. I have two eagles to tame, two rabbits to keep from running away, two hawks to manage, one snake to confine, a lion to chain up, and a sick man to wait upon." And his friend said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand." And the elderly Chinese man said, "Let me explain. I need God's help for these tasks every day. I need His gifts of Holy Scripture and faith and grace, or I couldn't do it myself. For you see, the two eagles are my two eyes. The two rabbits are my feet. The two hawks are my hands. The snake is my tongue. The lion is my heart. And the sick man is my own sinful self. Are there any among us who can say the Reformation is finished in their life or in their church? No. Instead, like that elderly gentleman, we must alert the guards, secure the doors, tighten the defenses in our hearts and in our homes and in our church. We do this so that the devil would not pull us away from God and His truth, by means of all kinds of strange and enticing teachings. We do this also to go on the offensive as we stand up for what we believe, combat error, and free people from their captivity in darkness. We trust not in ourselves to do these things, but only in our crucified and risen Lord Jesus. That same Jesus who has won the victory over sin, won the victory over death, and won the victory over the devil for us. This is the Savior that Martin Luther always pointed to in his Reformation. This is the Savior who will give us what we need to keep this Reformation going today. Now, Martin Luther wrote a number of hymns for Christians to sing. One of his most famous hymns became the theme song or the fight song of the Reformation. Its title, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." As you know, it's a very powerful hymn. Now, we're going to end this sermon by not singing, but by speaking the second verse of this hymn. The words are on the board. I invite you to speak these words as a confession of faith, written by the very pen of Martin Luther to help us in the job of reforming today. Let's read these words together. No strength of ours can match His might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God Himself elected. You ask who this may be. The Lord of hosts is He, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. In the name of Jesus, my dear friends, keep on reforming for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worship our Lord with His offering.